Hello, it's Aaron Wren, and welcome back to the show. We are doing a little bit of an experiment today. I have a special guest, redeemed Zoomer. So, Mr. Hey, Zoomer, welcome.
Hey, guys. Thank you, Aaron, for having me on the show. I'm a big fan of the show. I'm really happy to be here. For those of you who don't know me, I'm redeemed Zoomer. I have zero credentials. I'm not a pastor or a seminary student. I'm just a guy with a YouTube and an opinion, lots of opinions.
Well, there you go. As I said, I've never actually seen this person's face until today. He has a YouTube channel, which there's a link in the show notes, where he does interesting broadcasts about the church while he's playing Minecraft. And so he is a bona fide Generation Z person. You might be the first Generation Z guest I have on the show. So what I want to do is I want to play 10 or 15 seconds of one of your videos. And that'll also tee up the conversation. So I'm going to throw this on here, and then I'm going to play it.
I agree with the PCA on basically everything except their existence. Hey guys, welcome back to KingdomCraft, where I build this big church in Minecraft while I talk about Christianity. And today, I'm going to be justifying something that seems really stupid to everyone. Why am I in a denomination that's so liberal when I'm clearly not liberal? And why won't I just join the more conservative version of it? And I'll explain exactly why in this video. So
there you go. That's just a very short one. And as that sort of probably makes clear, Mr. Zoomer is in the Presbyterian Church USA, but would describe himself as very theologically conservative. And so people sent me this video, and given my interest in mainline Protestantism, suggested you should check this guy out. And so I've linked to one of his videos, I think that particular video, in the newsletter. And I think it's good to get this perspective, agree with it or not, get a Gen Z voice on the show. Unvetted, unedited, if you will, just say, let's hear from Generation Z. And then also hear this sort of minority report, if you will, about conservatives leaving or staying in liberal mainline denominations. So I'm excited for our conversation today. And I will tell you, I attended a PCUSA church for about a year and a half. So I'll try my best to keep you honest. Maybe I'll share some of my own observations. First, a lot of my people who watch are, they're not necessarily in the PCA, many of them are, but they come from a conservative evangelical, conservative Catholic, you know, Eastern Orthodox background. And what would you tell those people about the PCUSA, the Presbyterian Church USA, which is the mainline Presbyterian church in the United States, one that most of them have never been in, but probably have very bad thoughts about? What should they know? What's the reality of the PCUSA?
So the reality about what the PCUSA is it's a mainline Protestant denomination in the Presbyterian tradition. And the reason some Protestant denominations are called mainline is they're the institutional ones, the ones that have direct continuity with the churches that the country that America was founded upon. All countries, all nations are founded upon a certain religion. For England, it's the Church of England. For Russia, it's the Eastern Orthodox Church. And for America, it's the mainline Protestant churches. Settlers from different Protestant groups all across Europe came to America. They started churches. They have a great legacy, great heritage. And today, for the most part, that heritage is preserved in mainline Protestant denominations. They have the heritage from hundreds of years ago. They have resources and seminaries and buildings from hundreds of years ago. So that's what the PCUSA is. But what the PCUSA has become is, even though it's at least descended from churches that were founded by very faithful Reformed Christians, it has been largely hijacked by people who do not have a Christian worldview. It's been hijacked by progressive Christians. And of course, progressive Christianity is a spectrum. Some people on the lower ends of the spectrum are still Christian, but still have problematic liberal views. On the higher ends of the spectrum, you'll find people who are so progressive, they've progressed beyond any form of Orthodox Christianity at all and deny things like the virgin birth, the divinity of Christ, and the resurrection. So in the PCUSA, it's now a big tent denomination. You have some people like me and people in my church who still hold to the beliefs that it was founded on, still hold to Reformed Orthodoxy. And then you have people like some other people in my church who are liberal, who have liberal views on things, but not to the point of being heretical. And then there are some churches, thankfully not mine, but some churches where they are literal heretics, where the pastor denies that the resurrection really happened, denies the divinity of Christ. So it's bad. And it's the same case in all the mainline denominations, the Episcopal Church, the United Methodist Church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. Although the Lutherans also have a conservative denomination, the LCMS, that's technically could be considered mainline. And I know that you recently did an episode interviewing someone on about the LCMS, how the LCMS was sort of taken back from progressives, although it hadn't gone nearly as far south as the other mainlines have. So basically, the PCUSA, all the mainline churches, they're the churches that America was founded on. They're the ones with the cultural resources and connections. And as you've mentioned on your podcast many times, a lot of modern Americans greatly underestimate the value of brands and institutions and stuff. They see things on an individual basis. Like, oh, if you individually agree with the beliefs of the PCA more than the PCUSA, which I do, then why are you not just in the PCA? Well, because the PCA, it's not the institutional church. It's a group of offshoots and very faithful Christians. I'd say the PCA is a much greater percentage of faithful Christians than the PCUSA. But I want to evangelize to my generation, Generation Z, the Zoomers. Generation Z is the least religious generation in human history. It's also the most depressed and suicidal generation in human history. And there were generations living through World War II and the Black Plague. So it's not because of the economy or something. It's because they have abandoned God. And religion will continue to decline in America if the institutions are not recaptured. And I think recapturing the institutions starts with recapturing the institutional church. So that's why I should ask not what the church can do for you, ask what you can do for the church. So if I were just to surround myself with a bubble of like-minded people, yeah, I would choose a denomination. I would cherry pick a denomination that's closest to my beliefs, which might be either the PCA or the EPC or ECO. But if I want to say, like, where can I have the most impact for the gospel? That's definitely the PCUSA, no question, by far.
It is interesting. I've noticed that conservatives tend to take the point of view in seeking a church to attend of finding a church that is most aligned with their theology and most comfortable to them socially. Whereas often you see that liberals take the opposite perspectives. They I'll give you an example of not a church example, but there will be some red community in America and some really left-wing person will come there and open a coffee shop downtown and festoon it with all of their displays. And they're very comfortable in hostile territory. You go to a place like Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, which is, you know, one of the most conservative communities in America, and there are just very proud lefties living there. They're happy to do that. Whereas the conservatives have tended to say, peace out, I'm gone, and go to that. And you've basically said you're not going to do that. You're not going to go to the churches that are maybe, I don't know about the social environment, but certainly the theological environment is very aligned with you. You're instead going to stay in this institution where you are a minority and where it's theologically not in a place where you want to go. And so you talked a little bit about that, but what is your core case for taking that sort of approach?
Sure. The core case for taking a sort of crusader approach as opposed to a retreatist approach is that history, the past 100 years, have shown that that is the winning approach. Conservatives often make fun of liberals for being weak snowflakes, but in reality, it's the liberals who have been the brave crusaders, like you said, comfortable in hostile territory. It's been the conservatives who have been the cowardly retreatists, not just in the churches. For the past 100 years, fundamentalist conservative Christianity has had an attitude of retreat, of running away. We need to run away from the cities. We need to run away from the churches. We need to run away from the institutions. We need to run away from the schools. Did I sort of say that? Especially like the universities, all that. Running away from everything. And as a result, they've handed over every major cultural institution to the left. Sometimes Republicans will win elections because elections aren't based on institutions. Elections are based on raw votes. But because the cultural institutions keep shifting, the Republicans are only like 15 years behind the Democrats in terms of beliefs. So people overestimate the impact of politics. Politics don't matter. Politics is downstream of culture, and culture is influenced not by individuals, but by elites and by the cultural institutions. The institutions conservatives have done a great job of running away from. Sometimes they'll try to start their own parallel institutions, but those institutions never have nearly as much strength or credibility or resources as the ones that they abandoned. And here's the interesting thing. Leftists never create great, robust institutions. Leftism is a virus. You know, viruses are not technically considered living things. I'm not saying leftists aren't human. I'm not trying to humanize them. It's an analogy. Viruses aren't technically considered living things because they cannot reproduce on their own. All they can do is hijack healthy cells and turn those healthy cells into virus factories. And that's what leftists do on an institutional level. Leftists cannot build their own institutions from scratch. Christians built the best institutions. It's Christians that built these mainline churches. It's Christians that built the best universities like Harvard, Yale, Princeton, and Oxford. And it's leftists that hijacked those universities and turned those universities into leftist factories. So because of that, because leftists have adopted a crusader mindset, and because conservatives have adopted a retreatist mindset over the past 100 years, every single year we've seen a decline in religiosity and an increase of people who hold to secular morality, meaning embracing all the sexual revolution, embracing the LGBT movement, embracing the transgender identity movement. I think we're starting to see some bit of pushback, but unless we retake the institutions, the pushback is going to die out real fast, and people, it's just going to become normalized. And then in 2050, you'll have Republican candidates saying, I'm okay with a human AI marriage, but child AI marriage is too far for me. So,
you're right. In the sense that conservatives have badly, and evangelicals have badly underestimated the importance of the cultural center. And they don't really understand culture, even just in its symbolic dimensions. You know, I mentioned that here where I live in Indianapolis, there's this circle right at the dead center of town with this great war memorial. It's the best public space in the city. It's the heart of the city. And on that is a church. And that church is the Episcopal Cathedral. And if you go through all the key axes of the church, all the core churches, the great architecture is there. And including like the people that run the town still go to these churches. You know, there are still like very establishment people. You might even think of it as, you know, country club Republicans or whatever, but they still go there. And, you know, what's their theology, all of them? I don't know. But it is definitely institutions where, you know, there's an overlap of sort of culture and civic identity and political power and other things all come together. And those churches are nodes in that kind of network where all that thing happens, whereas the evangelical churches are not nodes where those things happen. They're outside of the system. And I really, you know, like a lot of evangelicals, you know, I was sort of, I guess, raised with this idea that mainline equals apostate. And that every single one of these churches is just full of crazy people, you know, purple-haired lunatics and the like. And actually, my impression was quite the opposite, that it's maybe their biggest liability is that many of them are quite boring and they're full of old people more than that they're full of crazy people. And I think you can reject saying, you know, what else shouldn't go to a mainline church or whatnot. But I think it's interesting. Most evangelicals literally have never set foot in a mainline church and have no idea what goes on there.
Yeah. Now, there definitely is some of the crazy stuff, but the crazy stuff is blown way out of proportion. But first, I really like what you said, that these mainline churches, they are in the centers of culture. Not only are they geographically in the center of town, which is very important, but the people who are connected to these mainline churches are often elites with a lot of influence, people who could potentially influence the culture if their churches were teaching them better theology. And also they have like the old historic buildings with beautiful God-glorifying architecture. And most evangelical churches, and I know like theologically, offshoot denominations like the PCA or the OPC, I know theologically they wouldn't always consider themselves evangelical, but structurally they are evangelical. And just like non-denominational evangelical churches, they're always off on like the side of a road somewhere, sometimes in a strip mall. they are not in the centers of culture. They are not relics of Christendom the way the mainline churches are. Like they're still true churches. I'm not saying they're not. I'm just saying culturally speaking, they don't have as much of an ability to influence culture. And that's why Protestantism has been split. You have mainline churches who are able but unwilling to influence the culture. Then you have evangelical churches that are willing but unable to influence the culture. But then another thing you said that's very true is, no, it is not true at all that mainline equals apostate. There's a lot of apostates in the mainline. There's not a single denomination that does not have apostates. There's never been a time in church history where there were not apostates in the hierarchy of the church. A lot of people, especially people in denominations like the OPC or LCMS, will say the entire mainline church, the entire PCUSA is apostate. And that's simply a Ninth Commandment violation. That's total slander, because there's always been a great number of faithful pastors who have been trying to combat the apostasy in these churches. Faithful pastors that are PCUSA pastors. Basically, all these mainline denominations have a network within them, have an organization within them that's committed to orthodoxy. For PCUSA, there's the fellowship community, has hundreds of pastors and churches in it. For the Episcopal Church, there's communion partners. I'm going to a meeting of communion partners in 2 days, actually, where I'm going to meet some conservative Episcopalian bishops.
I just put up comment from an Episcopalian who's just in your case, Gen Y.
Yeah, God bless.
I understand what you're talking about.
God bless. Whatever you do, don't leave. And I'll explain exactly why. Nobody has ever won a battle by retreating. And there's a bit of assurance. If it seems hopeless, it's not. Here's why. Here's the law of physics when it comes to mainline denominations. This is Newton's fifth law of mainline denominations. Liberal churches always die out. Conservative churches don't. And because of that, all we have to do really is wait for the already dying out liberal churches to finish dying out, bolster the conservative minority churches in these mainline denominations. Pretty soon, they're going to be the only ones left. So I want to clarify something, because some people have understandably been concerned about the Reconquista movement, thinking that we're telling people to go to liberal churches and submit to heretical pastors. Do not attend a church, do not join a church if the pastor is a heretic. We do not want people to start attending liberal churches yet. We kind of need the liberal churches to die out. We want people to attend moderate to conservative churches in these mainline denominations, bolster them, make them a little bit more orthodox than they already are, wait for the liberal ones to start dying out, and then we can gain a majority in these denominations and then top down, take over the rest of the liberal churches and restore the entire denomination. That's the plan of Reconquista. We don't want people to start giving more energy to heretical churches. It's also, you know, spiritually not good for you to do that, not good for you to, you know, be in a heretical church. If you have a very good reason to be, if you think you can have a large impact, by all means, stay in a church no matter how bad it is. But the Reconquista plan is not about getting people to join heretical churches. And a lot of people mischaracterize the movement as such. But yeah, I would say do not give up. Stay strong.
So your idea is not only you're going to survive there, but ultimately you're going to inherit the inherit the denominations. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I will say in the PCUSA, there are many faithful pastors in the PCUSA. People don't understand that. But a lot of them are older, and it's increasingly difficult to get ordained in the PCUSA if you are not, if you are, you know, an Orthodox pastor. I, you know, the pastor of my former church was denied ordination in the PCUSA, even though he was a Princeton Seminary graduate, there, which is basically the flagship seminary of the PCUSA. And his statement was, well, in this presbytery, you can believe anything you want. You just can't believe Jesus is the Son of God. If you believe that, you're out. And given that these denominations have tremendous top-down control, and they're not going to be like the universities that let all the new left guys in the door. They're going to slam the door in your face. How do you get ministers who can be credentialed? How do you avoid, their control of these institutions, allowing them to essentially just totally freeze you out? And again, these denominations constitutionally, they really control all the property. They control all the credentialing. There's a lot of power there that structurally is in the hands of many of the most, you know, left-wing elements.
Yeah, good question. So until recently, it looked pretty grim because until recently it was quite hard for conservatives to get ordained. But remember, it depends on the presbytery. There are some presbyteries that are solidly conservative, like San Diego Presbytery. The whole presbytery is pretty conservative. Some more progressive ones, that might be a challenge. So you're gonna have to like be strategic about it. It's like a war map. Which places are more fortified? Which places are less fortified? But
I'll
there's
give you
some.
one positive there, just to interrupt, is in the PCA, I think in order to combat some of that, really has ordination very controlled at the local level. But my understanding is once you're ordained in any presbytery, it's very easy to transfer between presbyteries in the PCUSA.
It
Yeah,
is.
much easier than it is in the PCA, which is like getting reordained all over again.
Yeah, and my denomination, we got our pastor from the Dutch Reformed Church, which is a bit more orthodox than the PCUSA. And he's pretty orthodox. But something that's been happening, and I'll give some examples of Reconquista success. Something that's been happening is the mainline churches have a severe shortage of pastors and leaders. And that's why they give out leadership positions like free candy. Took my dad 2 years after joining the church to become an elder at our PCUSA church. And last June, he prevented our church from flying a pride flag, which would have been like a liberal victory in our church. It took me like just 1 year when I was 14 to become a Sunday school teacher at my church. And when we started the Reconquista movement, we're getting young men through seminary to get ordained in mainline churches. That the whole process is going to take a couple years. But already we've gotten people to start joining these more moderate mainline churches. Already we've had people being offered leadership positions and taking them. We've gotten faithful Orthodox Christians into leadership positions, teaching Sunday school, teaching confirmation class, running the social medias of these churches. So on a not on a layman's level, Reconquista has already seen a lot of progress in these churches. And this is my first time publicly announcing this, but as of October 1st, Reconquista will have retaken its first church,
Wow.
an ELCA church, an Evangelical Lutheran church, for the sake of his ability to keep fixing this church. I can't say where it is or who he is, but it's an ELCA church. Right now it has a female pastor, but a young man who is solidly conservative, solidly Orthodox, is going to be installed as the pastor next month in October. And it's going to now he probably would have done this without the Reconquista movement, but he's in our Discord, he's in our community, and praise be to God for that. So it is possible. It's not always possible, but there's many cases where it is. He got ordained somehow. There's a lot of other examples of that. I'm working with an organization called Theology Matters. Reconquista might officially become affiliated with Theology Matters, and their whole deal is they're dedicated to ordaining conservative Presbyterian ministers in the PCUSA and some other denominations, mostly the PCUSA though. So it is possible, and we are seeing some real victories, partly because of the law I just mentioned, that liberal churches always die out and they're desperate for leadership.
Yeah, I think some of that is happening in the Catholic Church as well, where a lot of the liberal priests are the old boomers, and the younger priests are extremely conservative because liberals don't want to go into the priesthood. It's
Yeah.
not an attractive there, and so the hierarchy, like Pope Francis, is not necessarily happy about some of that. But you know, when you have a shortage of priests, and you have these conservative people who are willing to take their vows, then they're gonna, you know. They're going to get a job, most likely, just because there's nobody else to fill these pulpits. And there is, I mean, even in the PCA, there's a huge shortage of high quality pastoral candidates from everything I've been told. And so, yeah, I think it's interesting what you're saying and what will happen there. We'd have to see it. You know, my church that I attended in New York City was essentially a Reconquista church, you might to use your terminology.
Was it
And it,
Central Presbyterian?
yes, it
I've been
was
there.
a,
It's a great church.
yeah, it's a phenomenal church. Now, it did end up leaving for the EPC,
Yeah.
so you might not approve of that, but you know, the New York Presbytery was the gateway to liberalism in the PCUSA back in the day, so it is an interesting beast. Yeah, it's got an incredible building that was actually built by John D. Rockefeller Jr. for Harry Emerson Fosdick. Who was the most famous liberal preacher of the early 20th century? You know, ended up at Riverside Church, and you know, now it's you know, a gospel preaching church, and with this beautiful architecture, this beautiful building that, you know, they got for nothing and have fixed it up, and it cost them like half as much as it did for Redeemer's very boring West Side building. And so it was actually cheaper than trying to build your own building. You know, and it's like a 10 times better building that could ever be built today, no matter how much money you have.
Yeah, well, we shouldn't be building new buildings. We shouldn't be planting new churches. And you say the PCA has a pastor shortage. Maybe that's true. But either way, a lot of these conservative denominations keep planting new churches in America. Now, of course, in unreached parts of the world like China or like Indonesia, yeah, you got to plant churches there. In America, the supply of churches and church buildings greatly exceeds the demand for them. So we need to be reviving old churches rather than planting new ones. So rather than starting a new church plant that nobody asked for, they, as you've mentioned on your show, church plants often don't last very long. PCA churches or conservative denominations should send believers to be missionaries in old historic churches. Now, not necessarily even mainline ones. Like the LCMS, it's a conservative denomination, but it's an old historic denomination. And like you say, it's mostly boomers, and my generation has the attention span of like a toaster. So people, the LCMS is also dying out. So you should also send people to revive LCMS churches and also revive traditional churches wherever they are, even if they're not in, in the mainline, like Central Pres. And like Central Pres, what do I think about churches like that leaving to go to the EPC? I mean, honestly, I have mixed feelings, because on the one hand, they, I'd say there's one positive and two negatives. The one positive is they're no longer in danger of being hijacked. Like, there's solid PCUSA churches, First Presbyterian Hollywood. It's in Hollywood, if you can believe it. It's First Presbyterian Hollywood. It's not like random middle of nowhere Presbyterian church in Arkansas where they don't even have the internet, so they don't know the LGBTQ movement has happened. It's First Presbyterian Church Hollywood. It's a solid conservative church, but I'm still worried. It's like, what if liberals take that one over too? So if it isn't a conservative denomination, it's safe from that, but then that's also, they sort of abandoned the fight. They made it harder for those churches that are still in the mainline. And also, when they join the evangelical denominations and get influenced by the evangelical theology and stuff, they often do lose a connection to the past. Like, it's not just, it's not like the evangelical denominations have perfect theology. Once they get disconnected from the historic institutions, they seem to adapt a more broad evangelical Baptistic theology. That's why most PCA pastors don't know that the Reformed view of baptism is that baptism saves. It's why they often like fill those old historic churches, if they get them, with contemporary music and stuff. So like EPC, beautiful building, yeah, but the music doesn't really sound like the building looks like what I'm used to in the PCUSA when I visited. The music does not sound like what I'm used to in the PCUSA. Mm-hmm. It's mixed. It could be worse. I've seen worse. I've seen a lot of just Hillsong everywhere. But when the church does mixed worship, it's usually just 90% contemporary, let's be honest.
Right, right. Now, in fairness, that particular church, the organ is not functional. So we have to get the organ repaired before we can go back. But it's very interesting. And now, one of the things you mentioned, my experience in the PCUSA did make me start to give a little second thoughts to some of church planting. I'd always been a little skeptical of church planting. But, you know, I started to see that basically these church plants then hoover up all the most faithful people who might otherwise have stayed in these other churches and essentially bleed some of these mainline churches of the people who might otherwise have kept them from going off the rails and kept control of all of that historic identity, infrastructure, to say nothing of money and legacy of faithful ministry. Let's be clear, too. I mean, these places just have incredible legacies of ministry. The PCUSA church I attended, the pastor is the person who led Mike Pence to Christ in college. And,
really?
You know, yeah, so things like that. It's like, and, you know, you, if those things, it's 10 times more damaging if one of those places goes off the rails or dies or fails in some other way than it is that some suburban megachurch kind of, you know, goes the way of the dodo, because there's always going to be a new one of those sprouting up right and left, but they're not creating any more of these old historic churches. And the church plants essentially do siphon the faithful, I think, out of these other churches in some extent. I mean, a lot of church plants are just circulating people around, amongst different churches.
And it creates a consumeristic mindset. Like until recently, you would go to the church of your denomination in your town until recently. Mm-hmm. And now it's like church plants, they're sheep stealers a lot of the time. And they appeal to people with the newness of community. I get it. You're a lot like if you're young like me, you're a lot more likely to feel comfortable around other young people where the community is just forming, where it's very centered around social outreach. If you go to church with a bunch of boomers that have been like a clique for like 100 years, because a lot of them are 120, it will feel not very comfortable. And cliques are a big problem in all churches, but especially mainline churches, where a lot of people go because it's their clique rather than for God. That problem is not limited to mainline churches, though. So I get it. I get why people feel more comfortable in these church plants and stuff. But they don't last long. They don't create like enduring things. They don't create like these beautiful cathedrals. They don't create these universities like the old churches did. It's mainly just like a fellowship of individuals that may or may not last. So it's, again, you have to ask not what can the church do for me, but what can I do for the church? Because it's not like you get saved one time and then that's it. It's like once you become a Christian, you're a soldier for the kingdom. And how can you best serve the kingdom? Probably not by, you know, taking believers out of historic churches.
Yeah. So most of my audience is evangelical. I have Catholics and others, but let's just say you're an evangelical and you're already not in one of these historic churches. Do you advocate that they transfer into one of these other churches?
Or it depends.
Stay where they are? Like, how? What has your observation been on the experience of people who've tried to do that?
So a lot of the people that we have in our Reconquista community, we have a Discord of well over 1,000 members. A lot of people are leaving non-denominational Christianity, looking for something more historic.
So you got 1,000 people in your Reconquer the Mainline Discord channel?
Well, we have a whole Discord server. We have like 1,200 people.
That's
now,
a lot.
I think. Yeah, and it like just 6 months ago, the Reconquista community was an Instagram group chat of like 12 people. So it's grown really fast. We have a map of moderate mainline churches that people can go to. So if someone's wondering like, should I go to this church or should I not? Because like I said, we don't advise people go to the most progressive churches. So my advice for you, if you're an evangelical, it depends on where you are. I'd say if you're non-denominational, become denominational. If you're non-denominational, then I would say, yeah, you probably should go to a more historic church, even if it, maybe it's not a mainline church. The historic churches are the ones we need to preserve. If you're in a confessional Protestant church that's not in the mainline, like the PCA or the LCMS, I would say stay in that church. Maybe see if you can still reach out to the local mainline church in other ways. My girlfriend, who is a member of the PCA, had a genius idea, which she calls church swap, where members of a PCA church and a PCUSA church, or the equivalent for other traditions, could swap churches every 1 week every month. Just a few members from each church could just swap churches. That way, people in a conservative denomination can evangelize to people in a mainline denomination without leaving their church. And people in a mainline denomination can hear evangelical preaching, maybe get saved, and bring that back to their mainline church, and then also evangelize. And she's been doing that. She's been she's a member of her PCA church, but without leaving her PCA church, she's been still evangelizing to the local PCUSA church, which I think is great. So I recommend that people who want to help the Reconquista but still want to stay part of their confessional denomination should do that. But if you're a part of a confessional Protestant church, no, I don't want people to leave those churches. I want to see a long-term reunification. Once we sort of take the denomination back from the most radical liberals, I think things like the PCA and the EPC should become synods within the PCUSA that own all their property and can have their own ordination rules. So the EPC can say, have a more free policy of ordaining women. The PCA can strictly not ordain women, and ECO can always ordain women, but they can still just be within the broader organization of the PCUSA. And once the liberal churches die off, it can be way easier for conservative pastors to just swoop in and take them over. So no, do not leave confessional Protestant denominations. Keep them as strongholds of orthodoxy. So when we reunify, that's where the supply of pastors to fill the empty mainline pulpits can come from. So I'd say, yeah, short answer, TLDR, if you're non-denominational, become denominational. If you're in a confessional Protestant church, stay and just hope for reunification.
So you're laying out a lot of strategies here. To what extent do you actually have a formal kind of strategy that you're following to make this happen?
We have a very formal strategy. In our Reconquista community, we have formal meetings with like minutes and stuff. We have pastors on board with this. There's a good number of PCUSA pastors who are on board with this, who are helping out the Reconquista. The Episcopal priest, Reverend Jake Dell, who I'm sure you've heard of, I think you read his
stuff. Yeah, I know him.
Yeah, he's very involved in this. We have a very detailed strategy. We've discussed strategy all the time. So it's not like we're just throwing people at these liberal churches and hoping for the best. We have a very detailed strategy for exactly how this is going to work.
Oh, very interesting. Yeah, the Episcopal Church is another one. You know, I've visited a number of Episcopal churches, and I'm like, wow, there actually are some actually conservative and moderate Episcopal churches. They're not all wackadoodle.
Yeah, here in Dallas has a conservative bishop for now. Church of the Incarnation is a famous one, and I'll be going there in a few days for communion partners to meet with some other people in our Episcopalian Reconquista Discord. Our Discord community has like channels for all the seven mainline denominations. That's PCUSA, Episcopal, United Methodist, Evangelical Lutheran, United Church of Christ, Reformed Church, and American Baptist. And some of them are doing better than others. The Methodist Church, not get me started on what happened with the Methodist Church. I'm so mad about the cowardly global Methodists. In some cases, it's better. Like the American Baptists are doing basically just fine. All they really need is some more energy.
Baptist makes it easy because all the churches are independent.
And I will say, even though I make fun of Baptist theology, props to the Baptists for not getting too liberal and for more or less staying faithful.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, this is a really, you don't typically see young, energetic, optimistic people who are theologically conservative in mainline churches saying, yeah, we're glad to be here. Bring it on. This is a very exciting time to be alive. But that seems to be the approach you're taking.
I think we're seeing a growing number of this. We're seeing a growing number of young people, particularly young men, who crave tradition and who want to be conservative, and they're craving tradition. But because Protestantism has been largely alienated from its own traditional institutions, they're becoming Catholic and Orthodox because there's this illusion that Protestantism does not have tradition. It does, but until we retake the mainline churches, Protestantism will not appear to have tradition. So there's a ton of young people who want tradition, who want to pursue Orthodox Christianity. There's a growing number, particularly young men. My generation, the young men of my generation, grew up in a liberal feminine world. Most of us, like me, went to public school where we were just taught liberal bullcrap all throughout school. We were taught that it's bad to be a man. It's bad to want to achieve great things. You should just sit quietly and do your homework and basically acknowledge that you're the oppressor or something, and acknowledge that the institutions are just drifting more and more liberal. There's a lot of men who want to actually achieve something, who want to conquer. It's in the masculine nature to want to conquer. So I think this is the adventure that young men need, to fight for their future, to fight for the future of their children. And I think we can do that by retaking the cultural institutions, but the culture is founded on faith. The culture is founded on religion. That's why the word cult is the root of the word culture. And to take back the culture, therefore, we need to take back the church. So retake the mainline church.
Yeah, it is interesting that so many people are interested in these traditions and they want to be connected with something. I see so many people turning to this Anglican church in North America, which it always seemed a little odd to me because I'm like, we have an Anglican church in North America. It's called the Episcopal Church. Why not just join an Episcopal church?
Because it's liberal.
And so it is a little, you know, odd, but I think the growth of those shows that there is a hunger for something with tradition. But a lot of people, especially the ones that have come from any sort of evangelical background, it has literally been drilled in them since birth that, like, the mainline church is, like, worse than being a Catholic. You know, it's like some of the old people used to be like, you know, they still think the Pope is the Antichrist, and if you're Catholic, you know, you're not saved. Well, a lot of people, like, literally, like, the idea of going to a mainline church is just doesn't even compute for them.
In some cases, it is as bad as they say. The thing is, it's not all of them, and it's not even the majority of them. The thing is, there's a few fringe cases, like there's like the Sparkle Creed and this lady, this female pastor who wears a Planned Parenthood robe. And those people are doing that for attention by promoting this, by like talking about this. All you're doing is give them exactly what they want, which is attention. What they're doing is they're waging psychological warfare on conservative Christians. And the what you do with that is you ignore them. If you're in a place to discipline them, do that. But we should really just focus on the examples of mainline churches that are faithful. When an old boomer mainline pastor is simply being a faithful Christian and tending to the needs of his congregation, that doesn't make the headlines. When a crazy fringe mainline pastor has a drag queen show in church, that's what does make the headlines. And that's what scared the conservative majority to leave the United Methodist Church, even though they had a literal majority. So it's not good stuff. But yeah, so you mentioned the ACNA, the Anglican Church in North America. It's so sad because unlike people in like non-denominational churches, everyone in the ACNA wants tradition, but they don't have the traditional institutions. If you go to an ACNA church website, their website will have like a picture of a great English cathedral, but you'll think, oh, is that their church? No, their church is a Pizza Hut. So... The ACNA is basically just an evangelical church with more robes and candles. But fundamentally, it still is an evangelical church.
Yeah, I mean, again, some of it I understand because there are these like Nigerian or African ethnic churches that they came over and they're staying connected to their home tradition, much like the Eastern Orthodox did. So some of it I understand, but some of it I don't understand, to be quite honest.
Mm-hmm. And there are conservative mainline churches in other parts of the world, like the Presbyterian Church in Brazil. It was founded by PCUSA missionaries, but they cut ties with the PCUSA after the PCUSA became gay-affirming. But it's the mainline church, it's the Presbyterian Church, they have the historic institutions in Brazil, and they're still faithful. Same with the Presbyterian Church in Australia. And in, like you said, in Nigeria, in Uganda, in a lot of these Global South countries, especially Central Africa, it's becoming the hub for Orthodox Anglicanism. And that's great. I praise those you know churches in those places. But although the ACNA is sort of affiliated with the conservative groups in the Anglican Communion through GAFCON, the ACNA is not the legitimate Anglican church in North America. The Anglican church, the one that's actually in the Anglican Communion, is the Episcopal Church.
Yeah. Well, we're coming up on 45 minutes, which I think is about how long I said I wanted to go. Do you have any concluding thoughts or anything you wanted to share I didn't ask you about?
My concluding thoughts is, I guess, we are living in very critical times. And my eschatology is amillennial. That means I'm neither optimistic nor pessimistic. My eschatology is conditional, meaning if we play our cards right, if we're faithful, things will go well. If we're cowardly, they will not go well. And remember, God made his people wander in the desert for 40 years when they were too scared to attack the Canaanites. God punishes his people for being cowardly, for being unmasculine, basically, for not wanting to take up the fight. And back then, the Israelites were fighting those giant, like, Goliath-type warriors. We're not up against that. We're not up against any physical battle. All we have to do is just institutionally take back the churches from like old lady pastors who just are, you know, were never taught anything better than liberal theology. So it's almost a joke. It's like a strong number of young conservative Christian men versus a small number of like old mainline liberalish women. It's not even a joke. It should be the easiest battle to win. And these churches, it's like, I know a lot of the higher ups hate the conservatives, but a lot of the lower downs, like these pastors and stuff, they love to see young people. If you show up to a mainline church, they're not going to hiss at you for being conservative. They're going to offer you a bunch of cookies and stuff. They're just happy to have a young person there. It's going to be the most fun, easy battle to win. So
yes, in my experience, these churches are big. You mentioned Big Tent. They are somewhat Big Tent, and that there are people who are just historically attached to this denomination that go there because that's their historical attachment. Quite a part of, you know, from other in the evangelical world where politics and theology considerations determine where you go to church. It still is like that. Okay, I'm the Presbyterian, and I guess I'm going to join First Presbyterian Church of, you know, wherever when I move there. And that's they've got those long attachments, and that supersedes some of the divisions that you see elsewhere. So there's probably going to be at least somebody in there you can talk to.
There always will be. God always preserves a remnant. Even in the most liberal UCC churches, you'll find some old lady who's still a faithful Christian will still say, I'm here because someone needs to reach these people. And as Reverend Jake Dell said, sometimes the mainline church is the most effective mission field because you can tell people the gospel who have never heard it before. And he said it's been such a privilege being a faithful mainline pastor because basically every time he preaches, someone comes up to him and says, I've never heard someone make the Bible make sense for me.
Wow.
So it's the most important mission field the mainline church is right now.
All right. Well, on that optimistic note, Redeem Zoomer, thank you very much for joining me. And again, his YouTube channel is in the show notes. You can check it out.
Thanks for having me. God bless.